Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. I've told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. Let us trust in God, lest we become fearful. Any and every form of trust implies a source of reliance or dependence. Children trust their parents. We only trust a person or institution that bears the hallmark of authentic authority. The greater the voice of authority, the more likely one is to trust, listen, and obey. Do people still trust the church today? Does the church still have authority? The historical foundations of the church cannot be shaken or moved. The church today is the church of the 12 apostles, which we heard about in the first reading, written by St. Luke, all about the actions and doings of God's church, the Catholic Church, which was founded by Christ, who is its head, guided by the Holy Spirit, who is its heart, to praise and give glory to the Father, who is its origin. Of all the thousands of communities that claim to be Christian, only one has Christ as their Lord, because only one has the true fullness of the faith, the Catholic Church, which can make that claim because it has an unbroken chain that links us to Christ, who is the King of Kings. The more, in fact, one studies church history, the more Catholic one becomes. When one probes the trials and tribulations of the church over the centuries, the greater one's conviction that this church is not of human origin or design. So let's learn our history, steep ourselves in the past, so as to be convinced of the future. If we took a mental snapshot of the last 2,000 years, we could visualise four crises in the church, but not of the church. These are the four. The first, who is Christ? The second, who is the head of his church? The third, what is the church? And fourthly, who is man, or the person? The first, who is Christ, was dealt with in six church councils from the 3rd to the 6th century. Nicaea, Chalcedon, Constantinople and Ephesus, all in the Middle East, where Islam now dominates. That's where the Catholic Church debated and sorted out what we call the hypostatic union, that Christ is one divine person with two natures, human and divine. You heard in the Gospel today how our Lord says, the Father is greater than I. He's not referring to his divine personhood, but rather his human nature. Of course, God the Father is greater than the human nature of Christ, for God the Father only has a divine nature, which always excels the human. In those days, as is the case today, many were afraid. So God raised up great people in times of trial and tribulation to guide the church like beacons in the darkness. One such person was the Bishop of Alexandria, Athanasius, whose feast day is tomorrow. He was a young deacon when the church called a council in 325 at Nicaea to sort out whether Christ is truly God and truly man. We're going to say that same creed they wrote then when he was present, that Christ is consubstantial with the Father and the Son. When he became bishop, for 40 years he held the See of Alexandria, but for 17 years he was in exile. Five times the police came to arrest him, to force him out of his diocese, because he held the truth we hold today. He was one of the few bishops in a time of tremendous turmoil that remained steadfast, but he still guides us today. We don't lose hope. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The second crisis that the church had to endure was, who is the head of the church? It's around the year 1000. The church began in the east, but with the expansion of the Roman Empire and the church becoming legal under Constantine, it spread throughout the west. And this caused eventually a tension between east and west. And with various political issues, it came to a climax, and the east left the west. We have two lungs by which we breathe. We need both lungs for the church to be healthy and holy. And please, God, in my generation or yours, the church might be reunited east and west. But in that time of darkness, with regards leadership in the church, God sent a great reformer. His name was Bernard. And Bernard, through the monks, would rebuild the church. In fact, he was a bridge builder to forge the gap. The third crisis in the church is, what is the church? And here we dwell upon the Renaissance and the 16th century. The church had been plagued with an actual plague. A third of Europe had died. And to replace the clergy, they rushed their seminary formation, and therefore priests were not well trained. Furthermore, there was moral decay in the church from top to bottom. This led to a revolt, especially in Northern Europe, and a third of the church left. There were Catholics who protested against Mother Church, in particular Rome, and hence they became known as Protestants. Some followed their leaders, the ex-Catholic priest Martin Luther, others John Calvin and other so-called reformers. They left the fullness of the faith, and in leaving Mother Church, they dropped certain sacraments and beliefs, which we've had from the very beginning. In this time of turmoil, tribulation, do not let your hearts be troubled. God would call a young soldier, a Spaniard, Ignatius from Loyola, who would become a great leader in the church and founded the Jesuit order, which is still with us today. The fourth crisis in the church, or rather that the church has had to endure, is the crisis of our modern era. With the decay of the Western civilization, the question has been raised, who is the human person? Who is man? Who are we? This is the crisis that came to a head last century, the 20th century. We say came to a head then because no other century had seen such human carnage, such a waste of human life. We've never seen a world war before. Not only do we have one, we had two. Add to that the various wars of the Korean, the Vietnam, and then add the scourge of communism, which is utter materialism, a cancer to our spiritual soul, a denial of the spiritual world. And with that comes a disdain for life. With Mao Zedong, Stalin, over 100 million people were put to death, starved or just into exile in the gulags. What's the evil of materialism? It's the evil that's been pushed through our schools for decades. We hear it on documentaries, especially David Attenborough and others, that we are just another species, that there is no God, there is no creator. We're just further advanced than the others. And we're here to maximise our pleasure and to minimise our pain. That belief, which is foreign to every other generation and to what the Africans and Asians still hold, is utter denial of the spiritual world. We are created in the image and likeness of God. He's willed us into existence. He has a plan for us. We have a destiny to be with God in the next world. Meanwhile, in this world, Mother Church feeds us, heals us, and helps us through the sacramental life, the graces that come to our soul. And at the end of life, there is a judgment, a heaven or a hell. That there is a spiritual world which we cannot see and yet awaits us. This is the denial of our modern era. And with that comes the denial of sin, which is that disease which poisons us and leads us away from our home in heaven. We need to fight this propaganda, and we do so by turning to God, the Bible, the church, and to clarify the darkness of our era. With such turmoil and tribulation, God raised up a great leader in our times. He himself had endured Nazism and communism. He had tasted the bitter fruits of materialism and would therefore lead the world back to a respect for the human person and its dignity. That person was John Paul II. He fought communism and won it for his homeland. China still remains under that tyrant. Please God, one day it too will change. As John Paul II mounted the throne of his papacy, he led the world and gave great light and hope. And of course, his great saying was, "Do not be afraid." Pope Francis is carrying on his legacy to a certain degree. We pray for him. And we pray at difficult times. We look around and think, does anyone still believe? Don't lose heart. Never lose heart. For God is always with you. And he too will raise up in his time great saints to lead you home to heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.